Welcome to Yes Catholic, the place where real people share their real stories and realize it is all God's grace on the move. I'm your host, David Patterson, and every week we hear a new guest share their story of how they came to give their yes to Jesus and his church. So let's get started. Welcome, Thomas.
Awesome. Thanks, David. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So for those who don't know you, why don't you share a little bit about yourself before we dive into the rapid fire?
Yeah, for sure. So my name's Thomas Lyons. I'm in New Braunfels, Texas, where I live with my wonderful wife, Amanda. I work for Catholic Heart Work Camp. So we do mission trips all across the country and then a few international. I do a lot of their outreach, but then also speak at quite a few of the camps. Before that, I was in campus ministry, teaching theology at a Catholic high school. And most recently, I started a podcast and kind of started speaking more under the title of the Continuing the Call, a Seminary Dropout's Guide to Discernment. And basically, it's a podcast all about discernment, all about vocational discernment, but then also kind of highlighting stories of men and women who have spent time in formation and then realized God was calling them elsewhere, but then how they're still serving the church from the gifts that they received from that time in formation. So all that, and then outside of that, help out at the parish. Normally Sunday nights, I'm at Life Teen where I teach the juniors and seniors alongside my beautiful wife, and she has them for tonight. So they're either watching or hopefully behaving to her. So
nice.
That's pretty much our life in the nutshell. It's ministry all the time.
Oh, that's great, man. Well, we're going to learn a little bit more about you with the rapid fire. Ready to tackle some of these questions?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. Describe yourself as a kid in three words.
I'd say outgoing, curious, and probably a little bit rebellious.
A little rebellious? Okay. Would you say you're a morning person or a night owl?
Oh, a morning, 100%. Give me mornings. Unfortunately, my wife is a night owl, so we fight about that quite a bit, but morning all the time.
And what time would you say wake up is usually?
Oof. In a perfect world, like 5 a.m., 6 a.m., or usually it sits around 7 o'clock is kind of when I'm being honest.
No, that's good. It's good. Okay. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Oh man, it's teleportation. Easy. It's not having to deal with TSA or flying or anything. Just teleportation.
That's, you know what? Teleportation has been coming up like every week for the past like 4 weeks now. This is a thing.
It's totally the airlines cool. These days, man. No one wants to take them.
Exactly. Okay. Go to order at a coffee shop.
Just an Americano, or if it's a good place with good quality beans, just a black pour over. But yeah, just okay. Black coffee.
Black coffee. All right. Go-to short prayer.
I don't know if it counts as short, but Hail Mary. Hail Mary is definitely my go-to, whether it's I throw out Hail Marys left and right all the time if for like different occasions, things like that. But
right.
That's definitely my go-to.
Asking Our Lady to intercede for you. Yep. Okay. One of your favorite books of all time.
Oh man. Nonfiction is Treasuring Clay, the autobiography of Fulton Sheen. Then fiction, Lord of the Rings, because that's the only right answer to that question.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings all the way, man. It's solid. Okay. If you could have coffee with any saint, who would it be?
I'll say Fulton Sheen but he's not technically a saint yet. So Fulton Sheen, or if you want to be technical, I'll go with Saint Dismas, who was the repentant thief on the cross. He was my confirmation saint. I love his story, and I just want to sit down and hear how that interaction, went down and what that was like.
Wow. Yeah, it's powerful for sure. Okay, if you could ask God one question, what would it be?
Man, I want to say it's something pious, like, explain like divine hiddenness or something like that. Realistically, it'd be like the pyramids. Who built the pyramids? Atlantis. One of these like mysteries, I think, is probably the casual answer to that.
Ancient civilization mysteries is your go-to.
Yep, 100%. Dude,
we're going to be friends because I think about it all the time.
Yep.
That's awesome. All right. Well, let's you flew through the rapid fire. Let's kick things off with an opening prayer, asking Our Lady to intercede, and then we'll get you to share your story. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, man, let's dive right in. Where does your story begin? Yeah.
Oh man, I guess it starts with being born. No, but I grew up cradle Catholic to awesome parents, military family. So moved around quite a bit when I was little, but for the most part, Texas has always been home. I'm the youngest of three. So I caught kind of the tail end of it. Like I remember my dad being deployed once or twice, but luckily the older siblings had all the moving. Grew up Catholic, like I said, pretty run-of-the-mill family. Went to Mass every Sunday, prayed before meals for the most part. Sports were a massive part in my upbringing. Wrestling was my sport that me and my brother did, and then my sister was a phenomenal gymnast. So a lot of our time was like me, my brother, and my dad would travel for wrestling, and then my sister and my mom would go travel for gymnastics. That was pretty much it. That was kind of the standard upbringing. Things changed a little bit come around middle school when my parents unfortunately got divorced. That obviously kind of shaped who I am now. And then obviously at that time, it changed my relationship with the church. I have to say I've always been rather religious. Like I can't think of a time that I've ever doubted God's existence. I remember obviously praying growing up. But at that time, it certainly changed. So it wasn't like I ever doubted God's existence, but my relationship with him turned into one of argument or blaming or just kind of disinterest. I mean, I remember specifically, you know, time I think I was on like a middle school retreat or something in sixth or seventh grade, like just praying and talking with God saying, God, I know you're there, but I just don't care. Like, I don't want to serve you. I don't want to have a relationship with you, because I was blaming him for what happened with my parents.
Do you say there was a lot of anger there?
Yeah, I think more so it was just kind of confusion not really anger, confusion, really just kind of apathy, just like, man, well, this is what life is. You know, it could be great. It could be awesome. It could be awful. And it's just kind of luck of the draw sort of thing. I think that's more so what I was frustrated with was I was like, man, this stinks. Like, I don't know why this is happening to me. But luckily, God kept me just close enough to, as I was going through high school and getting confirmed, because that's just, you know, what we were doing. And my parents were very good about that, of even amidst all the divorce and everything, church was still somewhat of a priority. So our sacraments were still going to happen. And luckily, the parish that I grew up in had a phenomenal youth ministry program that kept me around and kept me interested and really, in a sense, became a refuge. I started to realize that I liked who I was when I was at the church better. I liked the people that I knew at the church better. I obviously had a lot of friends and teammates, but the people that I met through ministry were just people I wanted to be more like and around more often. And so over time, I just spent more and more time at the church and started to kind of heal that relationship with God and realize that he loved me, that what happened between my parents wasn't reflective of mine and his relationship. And just continue to grow from that. And so much so that right at high school, I entered the seminary, studying for the archdiocese that I'm in.
Okay, time out.
Go for it.
Enter the seminary. You got to unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You went from youth group to entering seminary.
Yeah, hey, man, that's how it goes. That's how it felt, certainly.
Wow.
But no, I think what it was I just like, fell in love with it, fell in love with the church. I, you know, started to be there more and more and fell in love with God and realized that I just wanted to do something in ministry and do something a part of the church. And that kind of snowballed. So I remember distinctly saying at one point, well, God, you know, hey, I care about you. I want to keep teaching. So, you know, let me go be a teacher and teach at a Catholic high school. And then God was like, that's good, but you could give a little bit more. So I was like, all right, God, well, then I guess youth ministry. And he said, well, hey, you're getting closer, but I want a little bit more from you. I was like, well, God, what do you want from me? And I remember sitting in our adoration chapel and him saying, well, I want you to go be a priest. And it terrified me. And I was, of course, like looking around saying, like, you must be talking to the guy next to me, because that wasn't my thing. I'd never thought about it. But the more I prayed about it was, God was saying, give me all of you, right? Like, if you trust me, I've shown you my love. I've shown you all the good you can do when you're following me. So why not give me all of you? And, you know, it's funny. While this conversation was going on, I was like, well, God, I don't have any priests in my family. I don't even know where priests come from. So if you want me to be a priest, you're going to have to show me how to do it. And literally, I say that, and I kind of, you know, end the prayer in frustration and thinking I got the better of God. And as I was walking out of the chapel, I literally bumped into the dad of a guy from our parish who was currently in the seminary. And so he was like, "Hey, Thomas, how are you doing?" And I was like, "Good." I was like, "How's so-and-so doing at the seminary?" He's like, "Good." He's like, "You know, I'm going to give you his phone number. Why don't you give him a call? I think you could, I think you could chat with him a bit." I was like, "Well, God, all right, fine." And then, through that relationship, he introduced me to the vocation director and took me around the seminary, and that was kind of it. So that's the abridged version, but really it was just kind of that slow snowball of, I love Christ. I love the church. How can I serve?
And you walked out of that adoration chapel, and that's when the number was offered to you.
Yep. Yeah. Literally, like, as I ended that prayer, got up, walked away, and God provided in that moment, hey, here's a guy who's in the seminary who's going to answer your questions. So
within 5 seconds, basically.
Yep. Oh, yeah. 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 And of course, I was like, all right, fine. Like, I got to, you can't say no to that.
Yeah. Okay. So you entered the seminary.
Yep. Yeah. So entered the seminary, loved it, loved it. Obviously it's like anything else. It's a bit of a roller coaster. So good days, bad days, good years, bad years. But was there for about 4 years. So I did 3 years of my undergraduate and then about a year of the master's program. And yeah, I loved it pretty much, the whole time it was there, and loving the ministry, really loving the fact that my job at that point was to wake up, go to mass, study theology, had a chapel in every building, and really just getting to cultivate that relationship, and also be formed at the same time. You have constant spiritual direction, constant pastoral formation. So what I realized too was a lot of the stuff that I came in with, a lot of the baggage and a lot of kind of the rough edges, were also getting smoothed out as well. So I wasn't only preparing as to be a priest, but also preparing to be just a better man. And ironically, that's what ends up kind of being the momentum shift for me now, was, you know, I think that time in formation for who I am today.
And so, yeah. And so looking back, like, you felt like the Lord called you into seminary, but you're married now. So what?
Yes. Yeah.
What led yeah. you to?
Absolutely. That's the $1 million question everyone always has, is like, and it's funny. I always say it kind of in two ways. It's obviously something changed, right? Like, I'm not sitting here a priest. I'm sitting here a married man. So like, obviously something changed, but at the core, nothing changed. I always say that. I always remind men and women of this when they're discerning, is hopefully nothing changes in the sense of authentically discern vocations is you saying yes to God. You're in a posture of reception and you're saying, yes, God, I want to serve. How do I serve? Yes, yes, yes. That's what leads you into the seminary. And then the same way every day when I was waking up in the seminary discerning, and I started to feel that call out, you know, people tend to push back, and I did it as well. Like, no, God, but I'm here. And he's like, no, but I want you out. So you have to also say yes to that. So no matter, you know, what your plans look like, if God's calling you somewhere, the goal is to say yes to that. Over time, I started to feel God say, hey, this is great, but you know, this isn't your home. This isn't where I want you to be for the rest of your life. So maybe start looking elsewhere. So I didn't know what that meant at the time. So I took some time discerning with a religious order, realized that that's not where I was supposed to be. But eventually it was that. It was God calling me, hey, take some time out of the seminary. And just like I trusted him to enter, I knew it was my obligation to trust him to call me out. And that's where the yes kind of came in.
And so was that just through prayer in the adoration chapel where you just
That's obviously where I felt it the strongest, right? Through that prayer, the same sort of thing of just kind of the uneasiness of, hey, you know, I'm calling you to something, something else, and, you know, different times meditating on scripture, and just kind of the familiarity and the way that God had spoken to me, you know, my entire life, he's still kind of speaking in that way. But then you also get confirmation from the people around you. So I had a wonderful spiritual director at the time who, you know, obviously I was meeting with and taking it through, and, you know, he was saying, hey, if this, he discerned it really well with me, alongside of me, same with the rest of the formators. And it was certainly a shock for a lot of people, myself included, but all of us, you know, did our due diligence and discernment, and we all came up with the, hey, yeah, this seems to be where God's calling you. So run along.
And so what did you do next after you left?
Panicked for a good couple weeks, because okay. here I was, you know, yeah. I'm sure we'll get into it, but that was kind of one of the things is like, there's not a very clear off ramp for men and women who are leaving formation. It's really easy to get into formation. I say really easy, but like there's a process to get in. Leaving is not necessarily the same. But so what I did was, luckily my parents were still in town, so I moved back in with my mom and my stepdad. They graciously put me up in their pool house that they have, you know, only charged me like lawn care service and things like that that I had to pay rent with. And then frantically applied for jobs. And it was interesting. Like I threw out just applications everywhere. But you know, I'm sitting there, a kid with, you know, like a weird degree in theology and philosophy, no real work experience, 'cause you can't have a job when you're in the seminary. And so I started applying for things and wasn't getting calls back. And finally, I made a cold email. I sent a cold email to the Catholic school in my town and basically said, hey, Principal so-and-so, like, I love what you do. I love your school. I notice you don't have anyone like assigned for campus ministry. It's like, I think I could fill that role. And through his kind heart and the Holy Spirit, we started kind of having that conversation, and he brought me on to help with their formation.
And what was that like to become a campus minister right out of seminary?
Yeah, so it was terrifying, but in some ways, like, it just fit. Like, it was the beautiful kind of fulfillment of a lot of the discernment, right? Is like, I left trusting God, saying, God, you're going to have to provide for me the same way you provided me a entrance into the seminary. Hopefully, you'll provide me a way out. And it was a great fit. I loved it. You know, obviously, it was kind of an adjustment, because it was like, hey, I have to like show up at this school and act like I know what I'm doing, when in reality, like, I'd go home at night and like be prepping for the next day. And like I said, the school is phenomenal. It's a wonderful Catholic high school. The principal's fantastic. So like the support system was great. And basically we just like brainstormed and came up with this awesome, you know, campus ministry program. Luckily it was like in the middle of COVID. So retreats were like out of the picture for at least a little bit. So didn't have to like plan those, but, no, it was a great fit. It was awesome. It was like I had felt alive, and like just one of those little confirmations of, oh, okay, like this makes sense, because I was using all of my theology and philosophy that the seminary had taught me now to teach these kids. And so that was a fantastic confirmation of starting to see why God had led me into the seminary to be formed, led me out, and now I have these people in front of me who, in a sense, had also been providentially waiting for that to happen, sort of thing.
Okay. And so you're a married man. So you want to unpack how you met your wife?
Yeah, absolutely. It's good, because normally we tell the story together and I have to be nice about it, but now it's just me, so I can tell my side of the story. My wife's a saint. She's absolutely lovely. And so we had known each other growing up. She was a few years older than me. But we went through the same youth ministry program at the parish, and I always had a crush on her. I always thought she was pretty, and, you know, would try my best to flirt with her a little bit and everything. But her being the wise person she is, realized that I was not worth her time, especially at that moment in my life. And so, you know, we were friends, and then she went off to college and I went off to seminary, and we had kind of lost touch. We'd bump into each other every now and then, but we were just friends. And for the last like 3 years of seminary, I hadn't spoken to her. And then when I left seminary, I went back to the parish and realized I should probably volunteer, since I have all this formation. I want to give back to the program that got me there. And I walk in the door, and lo and behold, my lovely wife was now running the youth ministry program.
What?
Yeah. So, and it's funny. So like I walk in and I'm like, oh, you're in charge. And I was like, I'm here to volunteer. And again, at that moment, when I had left the seminary, I fully thought I was going back. So I had no intentions. Like in my head, I was like, I'm just taking a gap year. I'm going to end up discerning either a religious life or a different diocese, or like I still had priesthood very much in my heart. But so for then, it was about like 6 months or so that I was just for volunteer. We were working together. And slowly but surely, I, of course, realized like, oh, hey, yeah, she's still this beautiful girl who I had a crush on all those years ago. And she had realized a shift in me of, hey, this is not the dumb kid who I turned down all those years ago. He's grown up a little bit and has, you know, realized that there's more to life than girls and sports and all of that. And so the relationship kind of blossomed more and more, and we decided to kind of give it a shot and date a little bit. But this is really where her true kind of virtue comes in, was I was still really on the fence. And at one point, after we had been dating for a couple months, I told her, like, hey, I can't do this. You're great. I love you. But my fear is if we get married, then I'm going to miss the priesthood. Like, I'm going to have that question of what if. And she said, okay, I understand. Go sort your stuff out. Go figure that out. If you realize that you are called to this, I'm here. That's really important. It wasn't her saying, you know, I'll be here in 20 years. Like she obviously was going to get on with her life, but I think gave me enough space and enough care that I could discern well, where there was no pressures or anything like that. And very quickly, I realized that, you know, I was being dumb. I was looking in the rearview mirror when God was saying, hey, I put this person in front of you. And when I say quickly, I literally mean like 48 hours from that conversation. when I said, like, I can't do this, I'm out. Literally like 24 hours later, I called her and said, so I prayed about it. I made a mistake. I do want to marry you. And then we got married, and it's been fantastic ever since.
It's basically like right after that conversation, you're like, what were you thinking?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was one of those, you know, I had a come to Jesus moment with Jesus, and he was like, hey, idiot, like you trusted me, like live by this philosophy. Yeah, like live by this philosophy of saying yes to me. This is an opportunity where like I'm calling you to this and you're not going to miss it. And that's the best thing is now that I've said yes, like I realized like, oh yeah, no, I don't, like obviously priesthood's beautiful and it's great. I still promote it, but I realize, no, my love is with my beautiful wife.
Love that, man. And so how long did you discern after making that decision to then get engaged and get married?
Pretty quick. It was pretty quick because, and that's one of the graces and one of the things I remind people of, the benefits of even if you go through formation and it's not for you, you know that it's not for you, right? So like our discernment to get married was rather quick because it's like, hey, this is where we're at. We both knew what we were looking for. So we probably dated for a little over 6 months. We got engaged December of 2021, and then we're married in May of 2022. So it was married and engaged within like 6 months. My saint of a wife planned a wedding in less than 6 months. So, and it was, I'm biased, but I think a pretty good wedding.
No, virtuous wife for sure, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So looking back, right, like you felt called to the seminary. Why do you think God called you into the seminary? Like what, how do you think God spoke to you during that time to make you the man that you are today, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the question that, you know, obviously I think to the day I die, I'm going to keep unpacking and discerning. But just the immediate fruits that I've seen is one, you know, it's interesting. Marriage and holy orders are the only two sacraments that are kind of outward facing, as in the grace that we get from those two sacraments is meant to sanctify other people. So obviously with marriage, right, you're meant to sanctify your spouse and your children. And then holy orders, you're meant to sanctify those who are under your care. But with that, they also give you grace, right? So I realize now that my time in seminary was, I had a lot of my own life to clean up, and seminary was the place that God was calling me to do that. You know, I think I could have skated by a lot in college, and I was probably going to go off and wrestle in college and kind of just live this mediocre, lukewarm lifestyle. But the seminary gave me the place to be committed enough to the church and to ministry that I desired holiness more than I would have out of it. And I think God knew that I needed a little extra push to fall in love with him even more and pursue him even more. I needed those extra hours in adoration, those extra prayers, and the formation. So it was certainly the forming that I had. And I think when I was formed enough, at least in a rough sense, to be then passed off to my wife to continue the polishing and continue all of that.
That's real life.
Yeah. So I think it was a lot of that preparing me for that. And then I don't want to discount the work that I did in the seminary, and I'm super grateful for that. I mean, I can think of all the, you know, retreats and hospital ministry, obviously not by my own grace, but just being an instrument of that. I'm sure, hopefully, right? I hope that at the end of my life, when I'm in heaven, there'll be people that I meet there that I encountered for the first time when I was in seminary and as a seminarian. And it because I'm not there anymore, doesn't discount the grace that God gave during that time.
Yeah, absolutely. You got a question that just came in. Do you aspire to be a deacon someday? Has that ever crossed your mind before?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I get that quite a bit. And I think that a lot of men who leave the seminary do. I think it's kind of seen as a best of both worlds, you know, kind of have your cake and eat it too sort of situation. Yeah. So I have a little bit of hesitation for it. I haven't discerned it, obviously, right? I hope to live what I preach. So if I do wake up one day and feel that as kind of where the Spirit's leading me, I'll discern it properly and see if that's at. But as of now, no, it's just not something that's really ever been on my heart. You know, I obviously love the work they do and think it would be a fulfilling mission, but for me, it's not in my heart right now.
Yeah, good answer. No, that's good. In regards to divorce, right? Because how old were you when your parents separated?
I don't know. So middle school. So, you know, I was at like 6th, 7th grade. So I don't know where that puts me, 12, 13, somewhere in there.
Would you say that during the seminary, you were able to kind of tackle some of that healing throughout seminary? Would you say you're still kind of on that journey? Like, kind of want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it certainly did, right? Anytime you go to, so obviously I wouldn't like call it counseling per se, but in spiritual direction and pastoral formation, you do a lot of that. So I think on kind of the service, on the human level, you get a lot of kind of that unpacking and you learn kind of the pastoral response to a lot of it. So that certainly helped kind of heal a lot of that. But I'll tell you what healed it the most was my relationship with God and realizing, one, like I said earlier, that my relationship with God, right? My parents are great and lovely, right? And I speak of all of it in hindsight, but the one whose love I actually need and the one who actually is responsible for raising me, right, is God. And that's the case for all of us, right? Like, not to belittle our parents, but the approval that we're made to seek and yearn for is God. So I think as my relationship with him grew, the things that I felt slighted on or upset about, I realized, well, that's okay. I can let go of that because they're not supposed to be there. They're supposed to be in my relationship with God. And through my relationship with him growing and healing, I think I got a lot of that healing. And then also just learning the intellectual side of it, right? Like the analogy I use all the time is, you know, God is the beautiful composer. And, you know, I think we have this misunderstanding when bad things happen. We say, oh, well, it happened for a reason. It's like, well, not precisely, right? But what it actually means is, while something did happen, God can use that to create something good. So like just as a composer, right? If I'm sitting there and I play a sour note, the composer then can weave a beautiful melody out of that. It's different than what the original symphony was supposed to look like. But God in his grace will use it. And I realize that. And that's the hindsight, right? Like, so my mom is married to a fantastic man who's taught me a lot of, you know, what it means to be, you know, a husband and a father. And same with my stepmom. And like, so all of these people who have come into my life from a difficult situation have all been grace as well. And I think that realizing that that's how God works also helped a lot in that healing.
Good answer, man. You got another question in regards to vocations. What are the best indicators that we are living our vocation fully or that we can be certain that we are choosing the right one?
Absolutely. There? Yeah, for sure. I think it's really important. And the first thing I always say is like, understand that all of us, we all have that shared primary vocation of holiness, right? So at the end of the day, the end goal is where are you going to be holy, right? God. Yeah. So the God who made us is the God who loves us and the God who gives us our vocation. And his first command to us is love me, respond to me, say yes to me, right? And so as long as you're saying yes to God, odds are your vocational discernment is not as complex or complicated as you think it is, right? So like God will put you where you're meant to be, right? He wants you. God desires us. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to find our vocation. So like, there's not, I think we put too much anxiety on it. And then the confirmation with that is that it's like, where do you know that you're going to be a saint, right? So like, that's where we're called. And I think that's a lot of discernment is, hey, am I being the person that I'm called to be? Am I using these gifts that God gave me? Am I sanctifying myself? And am I leading other people to holiness? And where you can do those two best is where your vocation is. I always like to use the example of Father Mike Schmitz, because he's, you know, everyone knows him. I always like to say, so Father Mike Schmitz probably would have been a phenomenal husband, right? Like Mr. and Mrs. Schmidt would have been a lovely family, I'm sure. But Father Mike Schmitz is probably going to be a saint. And we don't know that about Mr. Mike Schmitz, but like Father Mike Schmitz is, and that like, and you can see that, right? You see his works and you see all the things he's doing. And it's very clear. And I think that we look for those in our own life of like, yeah, would Father Thomas have been great? Like, I'm biased, but I think so, right? I think I would give good homilies and things like that. Sure. But I have much higher hopes for Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Lyons than I did for Father Thomas. And that's, those are the confirmations.
Well said, man. So how did you, what inspired you to start continuing the call then?
Yeah. So a couple of things. One, it was one of the resources I wish I had when I was discerning. You get a lot of discernment talks from priests and you're like, well, that's easy for them to say, like you're biased, right? Like, of course you're telling me to be a priest because you're a priest. Or this could have just been my, you know, angstiness when married couples, especially like old married couples, be like, oh, you'd make a great priest, or like, we need priests, you should go do that. I'd be like, well, okay, so apparently it wasn't good enough for you, so like, but I have to go do it, sort of thing. And so like, I wanted a resource that was that kind of middle ground where it's like, hey, look, I did it. I gave us an honest shot. I made it out okay. And like, just giving people like a ton of different conversations. So like, I have conversations with priests and with nuns and with men and women who have been in formation, and everyone has a unique story, but it's always kind of the same. So wanting just a resource that, you know, no matter who's discerning, they can go to it and be like, hey, I kind of like that story, and hopefully give them some clarity. Mm-hmm. And the other part was just a desire to give back, right? So like, I was very, very blessed in my archdiocese that majority of my stuff was funded, right? People in my home diocese and in my home parish sponsor our seminarians. And I knew in my heart that, okay, well, if I'm not called, God gave me the ability to share that and to keep ministering, and hopefully somebody else is. And I want to give back in that way.
It's good. So if people want to check it out, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah. So it's just Continuing the Call everywhere. So podcast, Spotify, Instagram is just Continuing the Call. Yeah. And that's kind of the best place.
And how'd you come up with the name for that?
I don't know. Right. I guess the Holy Spirit, ChatGPT helped a little bit.
It just
in so much as I was like, Continuing the Call, Seminary Dropout's Guide to Discernment, was like, it was always there. I thought about it and I went to ChatGPT to like, think of something better, and nothing better came out. So like, it helped it kind of in the via negativa sense of like, I read through all of them and I was like, these are all awful. I think I'm going to stick with mine. But Holy Spirit's the real answer.
No, that's good. Holy Spirit all the way.
Yeah.
I always like to ask every guest this question, but what is your hope for the future of our church?
Oh man. I think on like a big scale, right? My hope lies in the fact that the war has already been won, right? We have a savior. Jesus Christ already won. The hard work has been done. You don't have to save the world. I don't have to save the world. We just have to respond. And that gives me hope. The other side of it, right? And the kind of more practical side of it is, the darker our world gets, the brighter the light of Christ shines. And I think we're starting to see that is we have a lot of really good resources in the world today that are just not enough. And people are finally realizing that of like, cool, go get the help you need. Go get the mental help you need, right? We need those things. Go get all of that. Go heal those parts of you. But understand the one true healing comes from Christ. And the easier our lives get now, and the unfulfillment we feel from that only points to Christ. And in an ironic sense, that gives me hope that we're starting to realize that Christ is our hope.
Christ is our hope. And you can really see a generation of laity as well that are just kind of saying, you know what? I'm ready to stand up and evangelize. I mean, with continuing the call with so many other ministries going on, it's really inspiring to see it happen.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And yourself, you're a part of that. I'm a massive fan, and like, it's been awesome to see and to listen to the stories of the people you bring on. So thank you. And yeah, you're a part of that too.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. Well, on that note, man, I just want to thank you so much for your yes to Jesus and his church. It's been such a gift to be able to hear you share your story and how the Lord called you to seminary, called you out into ministry, and then meeting your wife and now continuing the call. And the beautiful thing is that the journey continues, right?
Absolutely. Amen.
It's that daily, pick up your cross daily and follow me, just saying those yeses, right? Just trusting that God's going to make us saints through all of it. So
it is.
You already shared, but I'm gonna let you kind of just say, like, if people do want to connect with you in any way, like, do you have a website or should they reach out through Instagram? What's the best way?
Yeah. So again, all the social media is just continuing the call. And then the website is just thomaslyons.com. So super simple. I'm a simple guy and don't understand technology. So it's really easy because I need the help.
thomaslyons.com. And you do speaking as well. Catholic speaking?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So speaking, kind of smaller scale, a lot of the stuff is just, you know, parish missions, different campus ministries, cool, things like that, but open to whatever.
That's awesome. Well, that's great, man. Well, thank you again for sharing your story. Would you be willing to close us in prayer tonight?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Close in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Oh God, we give you thanks for another day to be yours, another Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of your Son, to be reminded of your love for us and the care that you have for each and every one of us. Oh Jesus Christ, we ask that during the season of Lent, we may fix our eyes on you and on your resurrection, and that we cleanse ourselves during this time in the desert of anything that distracts us from the hope that only you provide. Oh Jesus, we ask that you walk with us every day so that we can be reunited with you and with all of your saints in the final days. Oh Jesus Christ, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the ministry, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or please leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest stories, you can follow us on Instagram at yes.catholic and visit our website, yescatholic.com. If you have benefited from Yes Catholic, please consider joining our Patreon community. Visit patreon.com/yescatholic. I would like to thank our current patrons for your ongoing prayers, support, and contributions that have helped Yes Catholic reach thousands of souls all over the world each week. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. You have a story. Don't be afraid to share the good news of how Jesus Christ has moved in your life with a family member, friend, or colleague. Give Jesus your yes every single day and watch the ripple effect of the gospel. Join us next week. The journey continues right here at Yes Catholic."